This is the Oanda Podcast.
Stock markets across the world endured more big losses today. Across Europe, more than 4% down, less so in the United States and the UK. Let's speak to Oanda senior market analyst Ed Moyer, who's in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Greetings from New York.
Well, it seems like a lifetime ago since we last spoke, about a week ago. So much has happened, of course, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has really spooked markets almost every day of the last week. And this attack on the nuclear power plant in Ukraine really, really saw massive losses in Europe this morning. Your reaction, first of all, from where you are in New York?
I think there has been a tremendous amount of outrage that, you know, just 24 hours ago, there was talks about having a third round of hopeful negotiations where a ceasefire could be contemplated. And then all of a sudden, you have Russian troops make a move towards Europe's largest nuclear power. And you're seeing risk aversion go wild here, because there is growing expectations that Russia, and after a phone call between President Macron and Vladimir Putin, you have expectations that Russia won't stop until they have all of Ukraine potentially. And I think there's this belief that now we're probably going to see an extended military conflict, and that has provided a major, move out of risky assets, out of stocks. And you've seen the euro tentatively, hit 108 at one point. And now you're seeing commodities that are heavily influenced by Russian supplies are continuing to soar. So I think you're having a market that is very anxious, and it seems that we're headed towards another energy crisis. You're seeing tremendous pressure with agricultural markets. Wheat prices have been through a roof. Wheat had roughly a 40% surge, and I think that you also are seeing base metals are just really catching fire here, and this is only going to feed into those inflationary fears, which I think that now you have a large part of the European economy that is going to be struggling for economic growth and surging inflation. So everyone's talking stagflation, and you're probably going to continue to see that that is going to threaten the global economic recovery. And that's even putting, as you mentioned earlier, it's putting pressure across all indices, and including the US.
And you mentioned commodities. The more I read about Ukraine, Ed, and I have to confess, I didn't quite know the detail I know now. It's quite scary what could happen in terms of the supply of major commodities across the world. Russia and Ukraine together account for more than a quarter of global wheat exports. Ukraine alone makes up almost half of the exports of sunflower oil. You mentioned base metals. Both countries, Russia and Ukraine, lead the global production of nickel, copper, iron, and I haven't even got on to microchips, which again, 90% of neon, which is used for chip lithography, comes from Russia, and the Ukraine is very much involved in the production of semiconductors as well. We were discussing the short supply of things like semiconductors and chips just a few weeks ago because of the labor shortage, because of the coronavirus effect. That pales into insignificance when you compare what could happen next. We are set for massive inflation over the next year or two, and who knows how long this conflict is going to last. What I can't understand is why the major countries of this world, they took their eye off the ball with this situation in the Russia and Ukraine. Across the world, we're going to see people very adversely affected by this lack of very important commodities to eat for fuel and so on. It'll almost make coronavirus seem like a distant memory.
Very much so. And I think we've been fixated on how critical Russia is a part to The food, energy, and precious metal side, or not precious metal, base metal contributions to this global economy that we're probably going to be faced with some rapid pressures that are really going to complicate what central banks are going to do going forward. I think that you've had a lot of countries that are not commodity rich that are really going to struggle, and I think that the likelihood is that now you've seen market expectations for central bank tightening has really changed. The ECB, it seems like they weren't you know, 2 months ago they weren't considering doing anything this year. Then all of a sudden, hey, we could have a summer rate hike, and now things are like, well, we need to assess the war impact. And now everyone is really kind of really had they have a big question mark. No one can have a good forecast for inflation right now, and with that, you can't really have a good target for growth. So I think you're going to continue to see that this uncertainty is really going to lead to some accelerated flows into some of these commodity trades that are going on, and what's going to happen is people are going to liquidate from equities, and they're going to try to ride this commodity wave, and it seems that before this war in Ukraine, I was talking to you about a super commodity cycle. The outlook across several markets were that two there was just such a lack of supply. And everyone knew that demand was going to start to pick up. Now it seems that, as global growth takes a big hit, some of that demand will fall back, and that will, ease some of these pressures. But that's not what we want. That's not how we want these pressures to go down. We want to see supply come back up. So I think you have a market that is now really struggling on how to get a better sense of exactly, how much more pain can we see across equities, and the contagion risk is there for the rest of the world as the inflationary impact is going to remain elevated for quite some time. I mean, last week when we were talking about Neon, that was a key driver in how we saw a lot of the semiconductor stocks react this week, and I think that you're going to continue to see that no one is immune to this war in Ukraine. I think it affects almost every industry, and you're probably going to continue to see that there is expectations that inflation is going to remain very strong for the foreseeable future, and you have some of these energy calls for people talking about over $180 on oil prices. So I think there's this fear that this Ukraine war is really going to complicate the economic recovery that was supposed to be this year, and it's really going to mean elevated volatility here, and I think that there's I think a strong amount of skepticism that we'll see any slowdown in these intensifying headlines.
And we're going to see the specter of stagflation. You mentioned interest rates, and we were expecting a number of rate rises over the next few months. Seven, it was spoken of in the United States. But with global growth under threat, central banks have got a bit of a problem, haven't they? Because they don't want to make things worse. And on the other hand, they want to control inflation. So where does the compromise lie?
Right now, over the Fed is going to take a look at the short-term outlook right now, and we did have a rather interesting payroll report today, and I think there was two big numbers you had to focus on. Obviously, the labor market remains hot. We had over 678,000 jobs created, which was much better than the 423 expected. But what really caught my attention was, everyone was expecting that average average hourly earnings were going to shoot up by half a point, and they were flat. So basically, the doves on and the Fed rejoiced, and they were able to. They're going into this policy meeting saying that, well, we're starting to see wage pressures are potentially easing here. Maybe they're going to get, you know, just pick up in the next few months. But for the meeting that we're going into, the chance of a half point rate increase, you know, that's, you know, I wrote that off a while ago. And, you know, I think for the people that were still holding to that potential, I think that kind of solidified that that's not happening. And I think what you're going to see is that the Fed is still going to fight inflation. And the U.S. economy is still fairly strong. Now, can the U.S. economy handle oil at $120 for 6 months? No. Can it handle it for two more months? Yes, easily. Can it handle oil prices at $150 for 2 months? That's going to get harder. But you're still seeing there is strong economic activity. When you take a look at the hiring, leisure and hospitality did pretty well, and you're as difficult of a situation that's happening abroad, you're still seeing there is optimism that the growth and consumer spending outlooks are still being optimistic for the short term, despite all of this inflation that we're seeing. You know, well, if this lasts for 4 months, you know, then obviously you'll see you know, consumers be dipping into savings, and you'll see a lot more concern, and that will probably be happening a lot sooner than 4 months. But I think there's expectations, though, that still the Fed can go forward with their rate hike at the March 16th meeting. And what they're going to do is, I think they're still positioned to raise rates 4 or 5 times this year. I think there's nothing that will disrupt rate hikes at the next few meetings. And as inflation, depending on how the growth outlook evolves, will determine whether or not we get that half point, surprise half point in rate increase at some point in the middle of the year. And I think you're probably base case is still 4 to 5 rate hikes this year, but there is that potential where if growth does not fall apart, if there is expectations that we will see things normalize across a lot of these commodity prices, then you'll have that expectation that the Fed will be able to fight inflation a little bit more aggressively in the summertime, but then we'll probably see them be a little bit more slower in that interest rate hiking cycle. So I think in the U.S. there's still optimism here. You're going to have an economy that can still handle rate hikes, but you know, obviously if inflation gets even much uglier than some of the base case scenarios we're talking about, then that's a game changer.
Indeed. And yes, this jobs report is pretty good, isn't it? Far ahead of expectations. 678,000 jobs, much stronger than expected. And it certainly increases the likelihood that interest rates will go up at the next Fed meeting. But I just got a feeling, Ed, whatever we think is happening right now is going to be very, very different in a month or so from here on. Yes, I agree with you that things are looking on paper, based on the figures that you have at your disposal now, better than expected. But I've just got this feeling that we are going to enter into a recession sooner rather than later, because of what's happening here in Europe and because of all those commodity prices that you mentioned before. And perhaps you being in the United States compared with me being here in Europe, maybe we feel it more than you guys at the moment, and we maybe feel more threatened by it.
Well, I think the Europe has an energy problem, and you know that is really behind a lot of the inflationary fears. I think that, you know, it was, you know, during the Trump administration where the U.S. was for the most part able to produce enough oil that it could really support itself, and now you're seeing, I think, the way the economy has been rebounding post COVID. The labor market is still very, very tight. Where you have, if you're an American right now and if you're looking for work, you can get a job. That is still the case, and I think that there is also a lot of Americans here that are looking for a much more normal summer. So I think you're going to see that there is expectations that you'll have a very strong vacationing season. I think you'll still see, even with oil prices, gasoline prices, you know, roughly a dollar higher than per gallon than they were a year ago, are still going to be going to resuming kind of that return to normal, and I think that you're the U.S. economy is even if we continue to see this inflationary story continue the way it has been, last week we were talking possible the earliest recession was, you know, end of next year. Maybe you bump it up a quarter or two at max, but still, I mean, the economy is still going to be very strong, and there's nothing that says, that the Fed won't raise rates in March. That's very much priced in. And I think that, there would be a lack of credibility in the Fed if they did not go forward with that rate hike. And I think that you will see that, May 4th is the next meeting, and there's probably still strong expectations that, they'll be able to deliver that rate hike as well without blinking an eye, despite where we see commodity prices. And if we have oil at 180, then that would be the thing that would say, okay, maybe May might not happen. But I think that that is still for many traders, that seems like it's not going to be the likely scenario. And there's prospects that we're continuing to see rig counts come to increase. U.S., Canada have been raising their rig counts, and also, over the weekend we have Iran, who has a very critical round of talks where this could be when they make their breakthrough announcement in securing or paving the way for reviving that nuclear deal. And if Iran is back in the mix, that is a global game changer for energy supplies. Obviously wheat and metals are a different story, but that would help tremendously. So I think there's too many variables right now, but for the short term, and that being the next couple of Fed meetings, there shouldn't be a reason why you would expect them to change their stance given these current developments.
Yep. You mentioned oil. Today, it's up around 3%, Brent crude at 114, WTI 111.
Yeah, I think, one of the biggest headlines that I saw that caught my attention, These high energy prices, they're putting a lot of UK factories into a difficult position. Some are halting production, and there's fears that you're going to have widespread shutdowns if you continue to see that this war in Ukraine triggers more shortages of natural gas. So I think that Britain steelmakers are very nervous right now, and I think that's an important story to focus on. And sorry to focus so much on the UK here, but I think it's important to acknowledge that is going to have a major impact for that part of the economy. And you're seeing energy prices there. I think around what, 300 pounds a megawatt per hour. So that's above pre-energy crisis levels, and I think you're seeing that a lot of companies here, and in some surveys they're saying that they're going to adjust their business practices to reduce energy consumption. And I think that most of them are also going to pass on those costs to the consumers. So this is just going to really hurt the UK economy, and I think that you're going to see that oil prices are headed higher. There's been another OPEC Plus meeting this week. We saw that it was a quick one, it was an easy one, and it shouldn't have been one. It should have been debated. I think that OPEC Plus decided to go forward with that 400,000 barrel per day increase in April, and it shows you that we have a very tight market, and unless we get a surprise from Iran, and Iran said they could ramp up production pretty quickly in a couple months, which I was surprised. I didn't think it would be that fast, and I'm sure that's their words, but I think that everyone's going to be focused on whether or not Iran is able to secure that deal. And this is at the negotiating table. This is where they have their best position right now. So hopefully a deal can be made, and I think that would provide a lot of relief to large parts of the economy.
Yeah, it certainly worked in Iran's favor. Difficult position though for the West, because we've seen the Russian attack on a nuclear power plant today. While we need Iran's oil, the West needs to be very careful about what it agrees to in terms of the future of Iran's nuclear ambitions. But that's for another day, that conversation. Let's talk about the week ahead. Obviously, things will be very much affected by what is happening in Eastern Europe, and we hope and we pray that things aren't quite as bad as they've been over the last week. But in terms of what we should look out for in financial markets, what sticks out for you, Ed?
For me, the week ahead starts on Saturday, and you have the International Atomic Energy Agency is visiting Tehran, and that could be huge. If they are able to remove some of those last couple of issues that are preventing us from getting that revival of that nuclear deal, that's going to be, I think, what a lot of traders are going to be focused on. But as far as the week ahead, it's all about Ukraine and Russia. You'll see on Monday there's a in an important energy conference. We'll hear from Saudi Aramco and Shell CEOs. That could provide some more insight onto their efforts and what they'll be doing and how they're positioning themselves to make up for the shortfall of oil that we have in the world. Tuesday is a rather busy day with German industrial production. You have, in addition to that, Poland has a rate decision. They're expected to raise rates by 50 basis points. Rate hikes are still coming. You also have South African GDP. So it's important to take a look as far as how strong or weak in some instances are certain economies are before we get to feeling the true impact of these inflationary pressures from the war in Ukraine. Apple has a new product event, and you know that could provide some momentum for some of these tech stocks. Apple, a big influencer with all their, they have so many suppliers. That's always a fun one to watch to take your mind off of some of these geopolitical stories that we're nonstop covering. Wednesday, there's I think a lot of focus will be on some of the inflation data we get from China. New yuan loans is also a good one to watch. We have the EIA crude oil inventory report, and also we'll hear from RBA Governor Lowe. He'll address the AFR business summit. I'll also pay attention to the deputy governor will be taking part in a panel about the digital economy, as I think this might be the one podcast we did not talk Bitcoin, but I just snuck it in there. Thursday is the big day, though. Thursday, you have the ECB interest rate decision. No change in monetary policy expected, but their March projections will start to reflect what they feel is the impact of the war in Ukraine. And that's going to be key. I think everyone will be closely listening to President Lagarde's post-rate press conference. And as far as economic data goes, the main event is going to be the inflation report for February. Some people are making the call for 8% on the year. There's the consensus is 7.9, but we thought 7.5 last month was high. Everything is just going higher. And Fed members, what they've said is they're focused on the month-to-month reading, and that's supposed to rise from 0.6 to 0.8%, which means things are it's very hot, and that will potentially give some of those hawks more ammunition to get the Fed to do more. That's on Thursday. And Friday we have some key industrial production data for the UK. The US has the Michigan consumer sentiment readings, German CPI, I think that now it's interesting. We're also paying attention to the sovereign rating updates. Norway, Portugal, Ukraine will have rating updates from S&P. I think the week is going to be though, you know, primarily fixated on every development with Ukraine. It'll likely be a very busy week next week.
Okay, Ed, we wish you and your family a peaceful weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
This is the Oanda Podcast.